Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion. As always, thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast today. A couple things I found really fascinating from this past week, looking at Song of Solomon 4 and verses 1 through 4 specifically. The text says, "Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have come up from the washing, all of which bear twins, and not one among them has lost its young. Your lips are like scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of a pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built in rows of stone. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors." Now, we hear this and sounds like odd, right? It just sounds off. Like, your hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. You know, that sounds almost offensive. But when you do some research, do some digging, you find that Gilead, number one, is this beautiful rolling hillside in Israel. And then the goats of Gilead, historians and commentaries tell us that the goats of Gilead were traditionally black. And so from a distance, these massive herds of goats would look like this rolling, sweeping black wave moving across this field. And he sees that. It's always an important reminder that these are real people, real history, real events. And he sees her and he thinks of the beauty of those goats flowing over those hills. Right. And so clearly, while this doesn't maybe hit with us, it lands with her. And the point I want us to see there is just the importance of encouragement and compliments. Of course, contextualizing those encouragements, those compliments to your spouse or to your fiance, for example, or girlfriend or boyfriend, whomever it may be, in an appropriate way. But I really do want to emphasize this, the importance of encouragement. I think oftentimes in our culture, we start high on encouragement, naturally so. We start high on compliments, naturally so. And then over time, that begins to fade, you know, going down from left to right. And again, part of that's understandable. And I think we need to be selective in our encouragement and in our compliment. If every single dinner we sit down and we say, "This is the best meal I've ever eaten," that loses its weight. And yet if we never say anything, if we never have any form of encouragement, well, that's going to cause damage. And so I think culturally speaking, one of the things that has happened is it's become sort of humorous, expected, and funny for us to complain about our spouses, to sit around in a circle and talk about how annoying they are, or to be kind to everyone else but the one we're in closest relationship with. Instead of encouraging, we cut down. Instead of saying things that build them up, we just constantly critique. And so in this, I just want us to be reminded of the way in which God speaks about us. And there's this difficult duality, right? He reminds us who we are, right? We know that. And yet in Christ, he's constantly speaking positively about us. One of my favorite passages is Ephesians 1, because if I were to write in a T chart on the left-hand column, who do I say that I am? You know, I'd say some various things. I'd say I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor. I'd say these different pieces, these different parts that are all well and good, but look who God says I am. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," says Paul, "who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Here's the encouragement. If you are in Christ, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's encouraging. "Even as he chose us in him," you're chosen, by the way. Did you know that? "You are specifically chosen by God, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." This wasn't because you worked up enough good things after a certain amount of time. No, he has chosen you from the beginning. And we could we could get into a long dialogue between God's sovereignty and man's accountability or free will, but the point here being, you're chosen. He predestined us for adoption. You belong to God's family, for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood. You are redeemed. Every bad thing you've done, every sin you've committed, everything you lie awake at night and you think about and you think, oh, how could I have done that? You've been redeemed. Why? Because of Jesus's blood. You have redemption, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. We can know the mysteries of God, which is ultimately that we would be saved through Christ, according to the purposes which he set forth in Christ. Sorry, I'm interweaving some commentary here. Verse 10, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ, things on heaven and things on earth. I'm going to jump down to verse 13. Not that there aren't more important things in verses 11 and 12, but in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We have God within us. God within us. Those are encouraging things. And if marriage is to be a representation, a symbol of Christ in the church, shouldn't our language toward our spouse honor that? Shouldn't our language in the comments we make reflect that? And that was Jesus to us. What about us to Jesus? Here, I love Colossians 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Christ encourages us. We praise him. We praise him. And you know what that will cause? Intimacy. It will bring about intimacy. If we receive the encouragement of Christ and we praise Christ for who he is, it will result in intimacy. Just as when we encourage one another in the marital relationship, the result will be intimacy, as we see then flowing out in the rest of this passage. Intimacy, 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 coming through encouragement and praise. So what's a step you need to take in that direction this week? Maybe again, your language is not encouragement, but it's cutting down. Maybe it's not praise in the right, appropriate, healthy ways, but it's pessimism. Whatever it is, where are you? What's a step you need to take? And maybe in your relationship with Jesus, you've got sin getting in the way, and it's causing distance. Confess those sins. Repent. He will receive you. He already has, because he is good and faithful. And your sins are forgiven in Christ. This time, I want to go ahead and pray for you. I want to say thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Father, thank you for the time that we have. Thank you for the blessings that you've lavished upon us. Thank you for the way in which you encourage us. Help us to praise you, Lord. Help us to speak encouraging words to one another. Lord, for your glory, for our good. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.